Through the theme that permeates throughout the Seder, and that's the significance of Zeich HaMikdash. So I thought we'd just try to speak a little bit about Api Halacha, some of the different Zeich HaMikdashes that we do throughout the Seder. Some of them are fairly obvious, some of them we even make a point of saying a Zeich HaMikdash, and many of them are somewhat more subtle. So the first possible Zeich HaMikdash that we do at the Seder is even before the Seder actually starts. It's a minhag that many communities have, that the men wear kittels at the Seder. And the question is, where does this minhag come from? So when the Magen Avraham suggests that this minhag is supposed to tone down the Seder a little bit. We know a person feels very good at the Seder, he brings all his fancy dishes out, and everyone's all dressed up, and it's the Man Chayr Seder, and that's wonderful. That's the way it's supposed to be, but sometimes we know that if a person, you know, feels a little bit too good about himself, so that could sometimes lead to a little bit feelings of gaiva. So therefore we want to always remind the person about the Yom HaMisa. So we tell them to put on a kittel, just remember where everybody's ultimately going to. So according to the Magen Avraham, the wearing of the kittel is a little bit of a tone down to the Seder. It's supposed to put us into our places at the Seder. But it said over the name of the Gra, a totally different reason why we wear a kittel at the Seder. The Gra says that the Zman Shem Yisrael Mikdash HaYakayim, so they used to have special begodim that they would wear when they would eat karbanos. So there was special pure white begodim to indicate the fact that they were eating the karbanos as mamash like malochim, that they're being mishuchim gavoy kazoch, what the Gemara says. When you eat a karban, it's like you're a guest at the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table, so you dress up literally like malochim when you eat karbanos. So therefore, on Pesach night, when we try to replicate everything of the Beit HaMikdash, so as part of the kiyum of the Zeich HaMikdash, we also put on our kittos, we put on our begodim, so we should resemble like it was in the old days when we would eat the karban Pesach. These are two totally different takes on wearing a kittel. According to the Magen Avraham, it's a very depressing thing, putting on a kittel to Seder. According to the Gra, it's a very inspiring thing that we're going back to reliving the days of the Beis HaMikdash. The second thing that comes up in Beis HaKnayit, which at least according to some, is also linked to Zeich HaMikdash, is Orchatz. So Orchatz, the Gemara tells us in the end of Maseches Pesachim, that before one eats a fruit or a vegetable that's dipped into a liquid, so one is required to wash. The whole complicated reason, based on the Gemara beginning of Maseches Shabbos, that the mashkeh is going to become tummy, since your hands are tummy, the mashkeh is going to become tummy, the food is going to become tummy. The whole complicated cheshbon of the sum of the tahara. Therefore, the chamuah mesaken called davar she tibula b'mashkeh. So tzorech netila, since karpas is one of the tibula b'mashkeh, since it's the first thing that we're going to dip at the seder. So therefore, the halacha requires to wash the tilus yadayim beforehand. So from the simple reading of the Gemara, this din of washing the tilus yadayim of orchatz has nothing to do with Achos Pesach. Because it's a regular din, the same way why we wash the tilus yadayim before eating matzah. So rachza is also nothing to do with Achos Pesach. That's nothing unique about the Seder. There are many mitzvahs that we do on Pesach night which are not really Pesach mitzvahs. Barech, Berch Demozen on Pesach night. So that's not a Pesach to come in. That's a din of benching like all year long. So rachza is also a din of all year long. So urchatz, pashas is also a din of all year long. There's nothing unique about Pesach night. It's part of the regular tachanas achamav called davar shetibul b'mash kiptach v'tilus yadayim. So based on this, the Taz is bothered with the question. The Taz is because Pesach right, and he doesn't understand why all of a sudden Pesach night everyone's very, very religious and everybody washes the Kedavish and Tepul B'mashka, whereas the rest of the year we eat a wet apple and we don't bother washing the Tzidayim. We take a bunch of grapes and wash them off and they're still wet, and we don't wash the Tzidayim. We take a donut, we dip it into milk, and we don't wash the Tzidayim. Instead of the Taz, he doesn't understand. All of a sudden Pesach night everyone becomes so makbid on Kedavish and Tepul B'mashka, why aren't we makbid the rest of the year as well? Then the Taz, just to get a little bit of a sarcastic humor, so he throws in a line, says he doesn't understand Klai, so what's going on? Pesach night, everyone's so from Manishtana Lailas and the Karolemas. That's what he writes. I guess when you're living in Poland in the 1600s, you know, you gotta take whatever jokes you can get. So what's the answer to the Taz's Taina? How come many, many people are not makbid on Davar Shetibul B'mashke? So the answer is that there is a big machlekes in Rishonim, whether this din of Davar Shetibul B'mashke really applies to Zman Hazeh. So there was some Rishonim who maintained this sakkon of the Tulas Yadayim was only instituted Zman Tuma V'Tahara, because the whole thing was Tuma V'Tahara oriented. The Tulas Yadayim before the Suda may have other reasons besides Tuma V'Tahara. The Gemara says in the Pasuk, these Kaddish Tavis and Kedoshim. So there's an idea before you start eating your meal to elevate yourself to Kedusha, these Kaddish Tavis and Kedoshim, show them, the Gemara says. So there may be certain aspects of the Tulas Yadayim that we're familiar with, Tulas Yadayim before bread, that go way beyond Tuma V'Tahara. They have nothing to do with Zman based on Mikdash Yerikayim. But then it says, Yadayim of Dabash, the Gul of the Mashke, according to many Mishanim, is pure Tumu Vitara. Nothing to do with anything else. It's just an issue of Tumu Vitara. So therefore, some Mishanim said that the Takana doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. The Chum were only Misakin, the mitzvah of the Tils Yadayim for Dabash, the Gul of the Mashke, only this man when a person is actually Makbid on Tumu Vitara. Our food anyway is all Tumu. We're Tumu, so the food's Tumu. So the whole issue of Dabash, the Gul of the Mashke doesn't apply. And other Mishanim say, Makbid Dabash. Other Mishanim say, was a Takana Sachabim, even though the reason may not apply, but usually we have a rule that just because Batla Tamla, Batla Gezeirah, Batla Takana. So this is in fact the Machlekes of Rishonim that appears in Uchos until Sidayim. And in Shulchan Aruch, we actually hold that it's a Sfeika Dedina. That we're not really sure whether the Tilas Yadayim of Dovah Shetibul B'mashke applies to this Zman Hazeh. That's where the Shulchan Aruch and Uchos and Tilas Yadayim paskins that all year long before one eats a wet apple, one eats a donut dipped into coffee, so one should wash the Tilas Yadayim, but without a bracha. According to the Rishon, we'll say that it's Mamash a mitzvah, it's a chiyub, this Zman Hazeh, you make a bracha. It's the same as in Tilas Yadayim before bread. But in deference to those Rishon, we'll say that it doesn't apply anymore. Therefore, Abnidigis says the Shulchan Aruch, at least Abnidigis, to wash without a bracha. Those who really maintained that you're mechuyev to wash bizman hazeh ikra din would make a bracha, and that was in fact the practice of the Gron. From the Gron held that against those Rishonim will hold that the mitzvah doesn't apply. He held that it applies in full force, and therefore you make a bracha as well. The same as the Tilas Yadayim before bread. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold that way. The Shulchan Aruch says a pshara that you should wash, but albeit without a bracha. So even according to the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, l'chara t'avzuk ha'tayna, means if you follow the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, the beginning of Aruch Chaim, and look at the Tilas Yadayim, that you wash without a bracha, so you should really wash all the time without a bracha. So how come Manishtan alayel zemikolein, zacham Pesach night, people are more machmir. So the Netziv suggests the following chiddush. He suggests that perhaps the minhag ha'olam is to assume not only not like the Gra that it's a real din, but not even like the Shulchan Aruch that it's a fake of the din. It means we hold this type of not doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. The minhag ha'olam, people who are makel on in a sense orchats all year long, so they're assuming the whole takon of davish atibul b'mashke doesn't apply because there's no matum v'tahara. So why do we wash at Pesach night? The answer is that's not out of the real din of davish atibul b'mashke. That's on zeichel mikdash. Since this manja based on Mikdash Ayakayim, of course they were masbar and tumu vitara, so then they had a wash maker adin. So we wash on Pesach night just merely to commemorate the washing of days gone by. So all year long we talk a paskin that you put it from the Tilas Yadayim, Dabshin to Bulu Bimashki, with Pesach night, we go out of our way just to do it with Torah Zeichel and Mikdash. So there seem to be really three different opinions of halacha. How do we understand what should a person's practice be in terms of Dovish and Tibul B'mashka all year long? So according to the one extreme, the Shita Sagra, you have to wash all year long with a brach, that's Ramesh the same as the Tos Yadayim L'Seuda. Then you have all the way the other extreme, is what the Netziv is defending the Minhag Ha'olam, that the whole bin doesn't apply to Chlal, it's just a unique Zeichel Mikdash and Pesach night. And according to the middle ground, which is the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, so it really does apply Misafik all year long, and it applies Misafik Pesach night also. And therefore you should do it without a bracha, which is what in effect we do at least Pesach night, we do it without a bracha. So there are different minhagim. I don't think too many people follow the Shita Sagra of the Zman Hazeh, but many people do follow the Shulchan Aruch and will insist on washing the Tilas Yadayim, albeit without a bracha, before Davish Tibul B'mashke. There are others who follow what the Tziv cleanses of Minhag Olam to be somewhat makel on this halach. But Pesach night everybody washes Urchatz, either Mikra Din or Misafek or Al Zeichel and Mikdash. Are there any differences whether we view Orchatz as being just a mere Zeichel HaMikdash or whether we view it as being more binding in Halacha? So this may be the source for the two different Minhagim that exist in class. So who washes Orchatz? So there are some families where everybody gets up to wash Orchatz. There are other places where only the Balabayas, only the Balasei that washes Orchatz. So the Chorot, that should depend on these two different approaches to Orchatz. If you hold that Orchatz is really required, if you hold like the Grohl, like the Shulchan Aruch, at least Misafek, you have to wash Orchatz the same way you wash the rest of the year Orchatz, So of course everybody has to wash. When it comes to Rachta, so you don't say, the Balabal, he's going to be Maitzvi, Shemekai, he'll wash his hands and I won't wash. That's ridiculous. Obviously, each person has to wash Orchatz. But if you hold that Orchatz is not a real din, Orchatz is just the Zeichel HaMikdash, so we find that some of the Zeichel HaMikdash at the Seder, each person does themselves, and some of them one person does on behalf of the whole people who are present. Let's say, for example, the fact that we have a Zeroa and a Beitza, the Shnei Tafshilin on the table, the Gemara says that's also Zeichel HaMikdash, Zeichel HaPesa, for Zeichel HaChagiga. So each person doesn't have their own Zeroa and Beitza. There's one Zeroa and Beitza for all the B'nai HaSeder. So there are certain Zeichel HaMikdashes that are sufficient just to do one Zeichel HaMikdash, and that might be everybody. So those communities that had the custom that only one person washes Orchatz, so they were assuming that Orchatz is only a Zeichel HaMikdash, and it's a Zeichel HaMikdash as such, that doesn't have to be done necessarily by everybody present. Those who insist that everybody has to wash Orchatz, either they hold this is a Zeichel that should be done by everybody, like Korech is also a Zeichel done by everybody, or they hold that the Orchatz is really more required than Igra Adin, according to the Gra of Adai, and according to the Shulchan Aruch Misafei. According to the Gra, in fact, you do make a bracha on a Tilos Yadayim by Orchatz, because according to the Gra, you make that same bracha all the time. Of course you would make a bracha. We who don't, either because of the Sukkot, whether it's a din, or because it's only B'tara Zeicha. When we reach the part of the Seder of Yachatz, so Yachatz requires of us to break the matzah, so the breaking of the matzah is a kiyum of lechem only. The Gemara says in Psachem, lechem only, ma'ani b'prusa, afatam b'prusa, just as a poor man always breaks his bread, puts a piece aside, because he never knows where his next meal is going to come from. So to on Pesach night, we have to do Yachatz as well. So after you do Yachatz, so l'chora, the din is, you take the broken piece of matzah and you just put it on the table and you leave it there. So we all know that that's not exactly what happens. What happens is you wrap it up in something and then next thing you know it's gone. Somebody's hiding it, playing Yaki Kolman games. So where did this come from exactly? Where did this idea come of suffering that you put aside the afikomen and you hide it away, you wrap it up and you put it away somewhere to safe keeping? Where did this come from? So the Pasha says it just came from just to keep the kids excited. They should stay up late for the Seder. Like the Gemara says, Chokpiras HaMatzos. The Gemara says you're supposed to play games with the Matzos to keep the kids excited. But perhaps there's more to it than that. That the idea of taking the afikomen and hiding it away may have more of a halachic basis than that. So Reb Chaim said that he thought that this meaning of hiding the afikomen is mamish a din of Zeichel HaMikdash. It's to recreate what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. How does it recreate what happened in the Beis HaMikdash? So we assume, many of you should assume, hopefully we'll talk about this. If we have enough time, we'll get down to the tough one. So there are, at least the Rosh assumes that the eating of the afikomen is Zeicher LeKorban Pesach. That the mitzvah mechilas masi yoytze with the first kezayis. And the eating of the kezayis at the end of the meal, the Gemara speaks about, the last kezayis, so the Rosh says, that's not really the mitzvah achilas masa, that was done already. That's the zeichel of Korban Pesach, since Korban Pesach was nechel al sova. Korban Pesach was eaten at the end of the meal when a person was basically full. Why is it eaten when it's full? Why is there a din of Korban Pesach nechel al sova? So the Rashbam says, because it's kederach shamalochem oichlev, that Korban Pesach is supposed to be eaten in a fancy way. It means the guy's not ravenous, the guy's not flossing, he's starving to eat, he's eating, he's ready. Like the person who sits down, when you sit down to chafta, you're already filled up for the smorgasbord already. Now you're just eating, you know, I like the person who missed the chuppah, he came and he running in at 10 o'clock and he stops to eat supper. So it's not for covered for the Korban Pesach to eat it in the derech such hunger. So it should be nechal aso, but that's a key of l'mashchul l'gedula kederach shemalachem oichlev. And Taisha says that a much more practical reason, Taisha quotes Yerushalmi that says, you know, you have to eat it all asova because you're afraid if you're really hungry, you're going to break the bones. And to break the bones, the minister their eyes is shiris etzim in Pesach. So therefore, the chacham of mesakim to eat it all asova so that it shouldn't be a chashash of shiris etzim. So no matter how you slice it, levais, you have to eat the Korban Pesach al asova. So the Rosh writes, and the other Masechus Tzachim, the Chavim of Mesach and Afikomen should be a Zeichel HaMikdash, should be Zeichel HaKorban Pesach, so you should eat that Allah Saiva as well. So Chaim said, if that's true, that the Kedayit HaMatzah that we put aside for Afikomen is a Zeichel HaMikdash, and there's a din in Karbanos, when you have Besach Karbanos, you can't just leave Besach Karbanos around. You can't just leave it around on the table, on the floor, just and assume it's going to be safe. There's a Psul of Hetzach Hadas. That was a month ago or so, may remember, there's a whole sugyan called Shah about the Psul of Hetzach Hadas. The Gemara says that if you have a korban that's left aside and nobody was watching it, no one was paying attention to it, so then it's possible. You're no longer allowed to eat it. Why is that? There was a machlekes amaroyim. So one day it said it's a chashash of tuma. They were afraid that the korban had become tummy. No one's watching it. So as we read this morning, and yesterday's parsha, kol basar sheiga b'chol tummy lo yachel. And besar kachim comes into contact with the davar tummy, it becomes also be achila. So according to one day, the psul of Eschedas is a chashash of Tuma. According to the other day, no, the chashash of Eschedas is a chashash of Tuma. It's a psul of Tuma. Not because it's going to become Tuma, but because the Torah says Mishmeres, Mishmeres Trumosai, the Truma, the Kachim. You have to guard it, you have to keep your eyes on it, and if you're not careful with it, not because we're really afraid someone's going to be Mitamayid, but because just the mere fact that you are Mesiach Das, and that in and of itself passes it from Achila. So the Gemara says, my Nafkamina, the Gemara says, what if Eliyahu Navi comes and tells you that it's Takanat Tomei? It means, you know, you can test, you can see, that you can do some kind of a test on it, and it comes out, nobody ever touched it. No dead mouse, no dead animal, nothing ever touched this piece. And we know that it hasn't been touched by anything else. So is that kosher, is that possible? So according to the day who says that Hezchadas is a Psultuma, if you have Eliyahu, if you have a test, a way of determining that nothing Tomei touched it, so then there's no Psul of Hezchadas. But if you hold the second shaft, Eschadas has nothing to do with Tumah. Eschadas is a psul b'fnei atzmo, that since the carbon wasn't washed, it becomes also the achila. So then even if you know for a fact that it wasn't Tumah, it still doesn't matter, you're still not allowed to eat it. So Ramai said there's a din of Eschadas by Besar Kochim. So Chaim says by Afikoman, which is supposed to be a zeicha, a carbon Pesach, there's also a din of Eschadas. So how do you avoid Eschadas by Afikoman? So if you just take the Afikoman and just put it on the table and leave it there, so people get up from the table, you get up, you can wash the clothes, you're dying, you get up, from benching, you're walking around, so not necessarily being kept, no one's necessarily keeping their eyes on it. So there's a din by Besar Kachim, let's say you shecht an animal, now you want to eat the meat. So you have to mamish stand and hold the meat in your hand for us for 10 hours until you eat it. So that's not necessary to fulfill the din of lack of Eschadash. Let's say I take the meat and I hide it away somewhere. I lock it away somewhere. I know exactly where it is, but it's put in a cell, it's put in a place for safekeeping. So the halach is that's not called Eschadash. Eschadash means that I just plop it down on the table, so I walk around, and walk out, no one's really paying attention to it. That's called Eschadash. But if I dock in the yachid makom, I put it aside somewhere, then nobody should find it, and it's set aside that it's under lock and key, so that's for sure not considered to be a problem of Eschadash. So Chaim says that's what the stealing of the Afikoman is all about. The stealing of the Afikoman is not so much that people are supposed to find it. Forget, you're supposed to put it, we got to go backwards, says Rav Chaim. So we steal the Afikoman in a joke place, we put it in a joke place so the kids should get it. Then the kids get it, we can't find it. No, you're supposed to take the Afikoman and put it aside somewhere on the lock and key where nobody can find it. That's tough one. That's what that's supposed to remove the problem of Eschadas from the Afikoman. Again, we're not such briskers in this key of stealing the Afikoman, but the original meaning of hiding the Afikoman, says Rav Chaim, was much deeper than just to play games with the kids. He claims that it was supposed to be reminiscent of the Zman Shabbos Mikdash Yekayim, where they would take the Besar Korban Pesach and put it aside because they didn't want that it should be a chashash of becoming Yisro Be'Eschadas.
So we do the opposite.
Yeah, that's the problem. Because at the end of the day, he finds it, and then he hides it, and someone else grabs it, and then you never know where it is. So, yeah, it's okay, no, what can you do? You try.
Especially if you can't find it.
Try your best. The next thing that we do, which is Eichel HaMikdash, which is pretty clear as Eichel HaMikdash, because we even make a point of saying that as Eichel HaMikdash, is Korech. So Korech, the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Tzachim, was based on a machlek, is Hillel and the Chachamim had to perform the mitzvah of Matzah Samarom Yechluhu. So Hillel had a very literal interpretation of this pasuk. Matzah Samarom Yechluhu means that you have to eat the Matzah Mor Mamish Biyachet, Korech Biyachet, you have to eat it together in order to perform the mitzvah. According to Hillel, what exactly goes into the sandwich? So we know Matzah goes in, and we know that Mor goes in. Is there anything else that goes in? So there's machlekes and rishonim whether Korban Pesach also went in. So you say matzah samarom yochluhu means all three here. The yochluhu refers to the Korban Pesach. So you need really three kazaitim in the sandwich: a kazayis of matzah, kazayis of morah, and a kazayis of Korban Pesach. But you say no, that he was only korech matzah umorah v'yochel biyachad. The Korban Pesach was eaten separately. Machlekes and rishonim. So it's interesting that this machlekes and rishonim is spilled over into our nusach of the Haggadah. That in our Haggadah, so when we say Zechel Mikdash Kilo, so we say Kedah Yisrael of Bizmash Mitzvah Shara Kayem Hayakorech. The question is, what's the next word? So one gear in the Haggadah is Hayakorech Matzah Umar of Yochel Biyachad, and the other gear is Hayakorech Pesach Matzah Umar of Yochel Biyachad. So many Haggadahs, they print the word Pesach in parentheses. I mean, they don't want to be machriya. This was the famous Pesach of the Maxwell House Haggadah. So they set the tone for the American Haggadahs. So that's only possibly the Maxwell House. That's the Smeka Dedina. We're not sure. So you say, either those who want to say the parenthesis say it. Those who want to say it, don't say it. But that's where the parenthesis comes from. Because there's a machlekes and rishonim, whether the Pesach is in there also. There are some who suggest that maybe another kedayis tucked into that sandwich.
going to be quite a big sandwich. There are some who say that maybe there was a kazayis of charoses tucked in there also. Charoses, who have heard of eating a kazayis of charoses? So there's a machlokes at Tanoim in the end of Masechus Pesachim, what do you eat charoses for? The charoses just the zeicha, the alma, to the zeicha, the tit, just to remind us of the bricks, the mortar in Mitzrayim, or is achilus charoses mamash a mitzvah? That's a machshad on the Tanoim, but achilus charoses is a mitzvah. What does that mean, it's a mitzvah? So the Rambam in Perish HaMishnayis writes that according to the opinion that achilus charoses is mamash a mitzvah, you have to have a kezayis. It's a mitzvah achila. Chomo mesaken on mitzvah achilus charoses, it has to be a kezayis. The only thing is, the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnayis says, we don't pass like that Tana. We pass like the Tana that charoses is not a mitzvah. So therefore, there's no need to have a kezayis. That's also good enough to fulfill the inyan of zeicha letit. So it's interesting because there's a double steer in Rambams about charoses. The Rambam in Perush HaMishnayis says that if you hold charoses as a mitzvah, then you have to have a kezayis, but we don't pass like that Tana. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah writes, Mamash Benafichu, he writes that charoses is a mitzvah, we do pass it as a mitzvah, like the Tana reveals the Tzadik that it is a mitzvah, but even though it's a mitzvah, you don't need a kezayis for it, that it's good enough to have even less than a kezayis. So it's Mamash a double steer in Rambams. How is he passing? Is he passing yes mitzvah, no mitzvah? And Allah said that it's a mitzvah, do you need a kezayis or not? At the end of the day, according to both versions of the Rambam, you don't need a kezayis. Both Mufriya Mishnah Torah and Mufriya Perish of Mishnayis. But Maish, you don't need a kezayis. That meaning is we don't insist on eating a kezayis or charoses. You're supposed to dip the mora in and then basically shake the charoses off and then whatever little dray, a little drop of charoses is on, so that's good enough. You don't have to go out of your way. If I can't suppose to say, you shouldn't totally dip the mora in and submerge it in and drown it in and then all you're eating is charoses and not mora. So that's not really a fulfillment of the mitzvah of maror. So we paskin that you don't really need a kezayis. But there may have been some rishonim who paskin mamash like the Rambam that you do need a kezayis. So if you would hold it, you need a kezayis for charoses, that would throw another kezayis into the sandwich. That's kind of a big sandwich. So matzah for sure is in there, kezayis of maror is for sure in there, kezayis of kumen pesach may be in there, and kezayis of charoses may be in there. So the sandwich is getting bigger by according to each sheet. So according to the basic karech, everybody agrees, according to Hillel, you have to do. And the Rabbanim say the whole thing is not true. The Rabbanim said that you don't have to do karech. Now you do not have to do karech. The Gemara says in the Sefer Tzachim that maybe according to Chum, you're not yoytim to do karech, because maybe the Mora is mevatel the matzah. So that's the whole sugya tucked away at the end of Arvid Tzachim. At the end of the day, the Gemara says that it's a sveik of the dina. We're not sure what the halacha is, whether we follow Hillel, whether you follow the Rabbanim. So what do you do? So Bizman should basically make the Shayakayam, so you should try to fulfill both. Bizman Azeh, the Gemara says you can't fulfill both. Because Bizman Azeh says the Gemara, even Hillel would agree to the Rabbanan, that you don't make a sandwich. Because if you make a sandwich Bizman Azeh, you're going to have a problem, because Bizman Azeh, Mora is only mid the Rabbanan. The Gemara says in the end of Pesachim, that Mora the Araisa only applies Bizman Karpenteza, Chumatzim Rom Yechluhu, but Matzah Bizman Azeh is the Araisa, because the Erev the Chumatzis. So when did Hillel say that you can have a matzah and a mora sandwich and each one retains its status, neither one is mevatel the other? That's when they're both on the same level, they're both on the same diagram of being deraisa, so then you can have a matzah and mora sandwich. But there's matzah that the mora is derabana and the matzah is deraisa, so the mora derabana is going to be mevatel, the matzah deraisa, and you end up you're not yet to anything. So therefore the Gemara says, even according to Hillel, the only way to fulfill matzah deraisa is matzah is to eat the matzah first, and then to fulfill mora derabana is to eat the mora second. So that's what we do in our seder, we do motzi matzah and mora. That's bein lehillel, bein lerabbanan. So according to everybody, we've been yotzei our mitzvah by eating the matzah separate and the mora separate. Forget if you eat them together, so you wouldn't be yotzei according to anybody. But then the Gemara says, since Bizman Shah makes a mikdash ayakayam, Hillel's shita may have been a viable shita. We're not sure, so we want to replicate Hillel's shita as well. So after we finish the matzah, we finish the mora, we yotzei ala chiyuvim deraisas derabbanan. Then we do a kairech, then we do a zeichel and mikdash kehillel, then we do a third achila as a fulfillment of zeichel and mikdash of Hillel's version of the mitzvah, not Hillel's version of Bizman Hazeh. Even Hillel agrees with Bizman Hazeh that we yaitse with the matzah and mora separately. It's the only way to be yaitse Bizman Hazeh according to Hillel. We do a third achila of kairech as a zeichel and mikdash kehillel. So the Rishonim of Bala and the Kasha, the Chachamim of Misakin, that we have to do this kairech as a zeichel and mikdash kehillel. So why don't we recite a bracha on this karech? We recite brachas on all mitzvahs that are abonim. So why is karech any less? So there are some Rishonim who suggest the following klal, a yisoid,
that you don't make a bracha on a Zeich LeMikdash. Any mitzvah that was instituted just as a Zeich LeMikdash, so doesn't warrant a bracha. So this is a very questionable qual, whether this is really true, because there are other mitzvahs out there which we also do Zeich LeMikdash, which seem to, yes, warrant a bracha. Okay, for example, in the Tilas Lulav, the Mishnah says at the end of Masechah Sukkah, the Midarais, they only shake Lulav one day, Chutzpah Mikdash, and the fact that we take a Lulav the whole week, was a takonis of Yechem and Zakai because of Zeich LeMikdash. So what do we make a bracha for? If it's only a Zeich LeMikdash, so why do we make a bracha? And you have other mitzvahs, the mitzvah Sefiras HaOmer, according to many Rishonim, so the mitzvah Sefiras HaOmer is only a Zeich LeMikdash also. It's a Shaila, like the Rabbim, the Tosfos. So according to those Rishonim who say that Sefiras HaOmer is only a Zeich LeMikdash, what are you making a bracha for? So this is a difficult sheet, this idea that you don't make a bracha, it's a Zeich LeMikdash, so just forget the bracha, no bracha. So this is somewhat questionable. L'chora, one has to be mechalek with the different types of Zeich LeMikdash. There are certain types of Zeich LeMikdash that the Chachamim were misakin, that Zeich LeMikdash was the reason for the takana, but now the takana takes on a life in and of itself. The formulation of the takana was to do a ma'isa mitzvah. So there's a ma'isa mitzvah until the Lulav Kol Shiva. There's a ma'isa mitzvah for the Omer. Zeich LeMikdash was just what prompted the Chachamim to make the takana. And then there are other takanas that the Chachamim were never really misakin, a ma'isa mitzvah, a chilus ma'asim or a biyachad. It was just plain old simple Zeich LeMikdash, just a mindset of Zeich LeMikdash. It's not a ma'isa mitzvah. So that's a tough question. Well, how do you know which are which? But clearly, according to these Rishonim, you can't just take a klal across the board and say there's no bracha on Zeich LeMikdash. You have to differentiate within different types of Zeich LeMikdash. But there are other Rishonim who say that there's a totally different answer to this question. Why we don't recite a bracha on Karech. There are some Rishonim who say the reason why we don't recite a bracha on Karech is because we already recited the bracha on Karech. We already recited the bracha, Alachilas Matzah, 5 minutes ago. We already recited the bracha, Alachilas Mara, 2 minutes ago. So the bracha of Alachilas Matzah, the bracha of Alachilas Mara covers through the Karech as well. If this is true, then the Shulchan Aruch writes that a person shouldn't speak between the first bracha of Alachilas Matzah, which basically means from the time of Rachza, once you wash the Tzilas Yadayim, you can't speak anymore. So you can't talk from the point of the Tzilas Yadayim after you finish eating the Karech. Because according to those who showed him, they say that the bracha of the matzah and the mor is being chal on the kerech also, then you're not supposed to be mafsik. The same way that when you make a bracha of tekiah shofar, so you're not supposed to talk until all the tekiahs are over, because the bracha is being chal on all the tekiahs. The same way we spoke about on Wednesday night, by bedikas chametz, when you make a bracha of bedikas chametz, you're not supposed to speak until the whole bedikah is over, because the bracha is going on the entire mitzvah. So it's over here, when it comes to matzah mara, if you hold like these rishonim, the kerech really should have had a bracha, if you hold that Zeich LeMikdash is not a svara, so kerech really should have had a bracha, so then the bracha is required, and the bracha is chal for the matzah mara, so clearly one has to be makban not to speak. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch tells us, this is something people should be reminded of, that one is not really supposed to speak at all from the moment of rachta until you have to go to mess for tzarech. The person needs another piece of lettuce, another piece of matzah or something, so it's the tzarech einyan, so then it would be okay. But otherwise, one should not speak. This is such a problem of speaking at this point of the Seder that the Mishnah Berurah has a tain against the Shulchan Aruch himself, against the Minhag HaOlam of saying Zeich LeMikdash Kehillel. Says the Mishnah Berurah, how can you say Zeich LeMikdash Kehillel? Saying Zeich LeMikdash Kehillel, Mamasha Hefsek. The Shulchan Aruch himself tells you not to speak. And then he goes and he tells you to say Zeich LeMikdash Kehillel. So what's pshat? So the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, the simple reading of the Minhag HaOlam, the defense of the Minhag HaOlam is pshat. That's not a hefsek. That's a kiyum. That's the end of the Indian. I mean, the whole idea of the Zeich LeMikdash is to remind you of the Beis HaMikdash. So then, to talk about the Beis HaMikdash, right? Mamash, what are you eating? That's a gevaldik kiyum. So that doesn't count as a hefsek. That's the Indian of the Indian. That's the simple pshat. So Mishnah Berurah didn't accept that. Mishnah Berurah thought that the Emes says that you're not really supposed to say Zeich LeMikdash. It says Zeich LeMikdash in the Haggadah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Lulei d'mistafina, if he wouldn't be afraid, he would have changed it in the Haggadah to be said after Karech. So Mishnah Berurah recommends that one should really say, one should eat the Karech first, and after you finish the Karech, then and only then do you say Zeich LeMikdash Gil. That's Mishnah Berurah's emendation of the Haggadah. So those who follow this tzach of the Mishnah Berurah, so that's what they do. The tzach of finished old Karech, then they say the Zeich LeMikdash afterwards. And those who follow what it says in the Maxwell Haggadah, the regular printed Haggadahs, so they who say the Zeich LeMikdash before, and they're assuming that the Zeich LeMikdash is not really a hefsek, because it's me'inyan le'inyan. But anything that's not me'inyan le'inyan, so really, in fact, should not be spoken at that time. Even though we're machmir not to speak until after the korech, so there are some poskim who raise the question, how are you allowed to speak until you finish the afikoman? Because the afikoman, the kazayis, is also being related to the first bracha. Taka, some poskim say, you know, taka, kash is better than teretz. You're not allowed to speak, unless it's inyan le'inyan. So the minigo element is not that way. We usually, even Shorav doesn't do that. So we assume, the gezeirah shen rabbi tibi chol mamma, but you can't come, can't make such a zata kana, everyone has to sit and have a quiet meal. But at least until the end of Korach, so one should really try to encourage people that they really should not be masik. It's a good idea not to be masik for other reasons. It enables you to eat the masik tomorrow properly. If a person wants to eat the correct shia within the zman, so the best way to do it is just to eat normally. If you eat normally, by definition, you will eat the masik tomorrow within the zman. Because the zman is to eat a kezayis within kadech and pras, which is 3 or 4 kebetim. So it's about 6 or 8 times the amount of time it takes you to eat a normal kezayis. So the shear was given in such a way that if a person eats normally, so you don't have to look at your stopwatch. There's not even the slightest of something that you could possibly miss it. The only way you could possibly miss the shear, to miss the zman, is if you start to talk in the middle. You start to drain in the middle. You start to get distracted in the middle, and you stop eating for a few minutes. So then you may talk enough for the mitzvah properly. So it's a good idea. The idea shalom, it makes the toivah. A person shouldn't get distracted. Should eat a kezayis matzah. Should eat a kezayis mar. Should eat a kezayis mufkarech. Afterwards, you can talk. During the shulchan aruch, you can talk. Another thing that we do in Pesach night, which may be as Echel and Mikdash we mentioned before, is the Achilas Afikoman. So the Achilas Afikoman, the Gemara never really says why you have to eat it. The Gemara says you have to eat Kezayis Matzah Becharoin. After you finish the whole meal, you have to take another Kezayis of Matzah, and then you can't eat after that Kezayis. And the question is why? Why is the Halacha required Achilas Kezayis Matzah Becharoin? So there was some Rishonim Tosfos, Rashbam, say that that's the real mitzvah Achilas Matzah. But the fact that Lamaisa you ate Matzah at the beginning of the Seder, that wasn't really for the mitzvah. That was just because you have to wash. You can eat your meals. So you have to wash something. You can't wash some bread. So you have to eat the matzah. But according to the Rashbam and Tosfos, since the zman shabbos is a mikdash yekayim, so they ate the korban pesach lasoiva. They ate the kezayis matzah lasoiva. So that's the mitzvah of achilas matzah, to eat the last kezayis al hasova as well. The fact that you're eating kezayis matzah at the beginning, that's just a technical inconsistency. So then Tosfos asks, so imtein, what do you make a bracha for? Why do you make al achilas matzah at the beginning? You should make it at the end. So the Rashbam and Tosfos writes, that's a technicality. Because the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Pesachim, let's say a person doesn't have any vegetable for kashrus. The only vegetable he has is morum. He has romaine lettuce. He's got a lot of romaine lettuce. He doesn't have any cucumbers, any peppers, any scallions. He has nothing else to eat for morum. Just for karpas. So the Gemara says, so for fall, what can you do? So let him take his romaine lettuce. It's also a yerek. You know, make a burpee adom on it. And he'll eat that for karpas. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. He's going to eat that for karpas. But is he yotzei the mitzvah achilas morum? Not really. Because morum is supposed to be a matzah, some morum yechlu. You're supposed to really eat the matzah first and the morum afterwards. So when the person is eating his romaine lettuce at the beginning of the Seder, he doesn't really want to fulfill the mitzvah of morum. He's not eating it from morum. He's not up to morum yet. He's up to karpas. But he's eating a min morum. So the Gemara says he has to make a bracha al achilas morum. Why? Because how can you say with a straight face, he's going to eat a kezayis, he's going to eat a little bit, whatever it is, he's going to eat a little bit of romaine lettuce now, and then 2 hours from now he's going to make a bracha, shirkin yishar mitzvah sara alachim uzmorah. Says the Gemara, fa'acha shavila kreisomayam, chayzim avarachalayam. Means you ate the morah already, so truly you didn't do it the teres mitzvah, you did it because you were stuck, you had nothing else to eat, but tacos you ate it, if lemaisi you ate morah, went down the tube, so then you have no right to make an alachim uzmorah 2 hours later. So the Rashbam quotes that Gemara by Masa also, and says that the Gemara by Morrow is talking about the unique situation. The guy doesn't have a min karpa, so he's stuck to double with the three min Morrow. So the Rashbam says, we rely on that idea of achash mila kreisman, every Seder, each and every one of us. We eat kezayis matzah at the beginning, but that's the Torah Suda's Yomtev. That's something to eat with like a filter fish. We're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah until much later at the Seder. So why don't we save the achilas matzah until later? Because achash mila kreisman, you can't be chosen mevarach. That's a very unique way of looking at achilas matzah. So the Rosh writes, so that's not true. The Rosh writes, of course we yotzei kezayis matzah. The first matzah, we have the chumatzah. That's the... Everyone has in mind when they sit down to the first kezayis matzah chumatzah. That's the mitzvah achilas matzah. So what are we eating in kezayis matzah becharoin? So why does the halacha require afikoman? So the Rosh writes, that's seichel the korban pesach. Because since this bunch of mitzvah mikdash yekayim, they ate the kezayis the korban pesach al hasova, whatever reason, because it's l'mashal l'gedulah, k'tev shem malachim aichlem, or mishum shvirzetem. Lamaisa, the halacha requires to eat the carbon because I masa because I carbon pesach becharona. So we too, and the zeich lemikdash, we eat a kazayis masa becharona as well. But the kazayis of afikoman says the Rosh, that's not the mitzvah zechilas masa. That's the mitzvah of zeich le carbon pesach. So my nafkamina between these two approaches, so l'chayra, there could possibly be a nafkamina as to how serious that we have to take the idea of chatzos. So we know there's a machlekes atanoim between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, whether the sov zman achilas korban pesach midaraisa is chatzos, or whether the sov zman achilas korban pesach midaraisa is alos ha-shachar. So if you hold that this is a mamash a mitzvah deraisa, the achilas mas that we're eating for afikom, and that is a mitzvah deraisa, the erfech l'masos, so the Gemara says in the end of Sochem, according to Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, that the sov zman achilas korban pesach is chatzos min ha-Torah, who a dinami, the sov zman achilas masos chatzos min ha-Torah. So then we have to get really, really nervous. We have to be so careful to eat the afikoman before chatzos, because according to the Reshbam, according to Tosfos, that's the deraisa. The deraisa is not really the first kezayis. The deraisa is really the last kezayis. So that last kezayis is a deraisa, so you have to make sure to eat it before chatzos. Because if you hold like the Rosh, that the last kezayis, then the Rabbanan is the Zechel Mikdash. So then you have to decide. So are we going to make the Zechel Mikdash properly or not? So according to Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, it should happen before chatzos. According to Rabbi Akiva, you could schlep it out until the morning. So, but the stakes are much lower according to the Rosh. According to the Rosh, that the right to be yotzi already, it's just a kiyum derabbanan of a Zechel Mikdash. So that Zechel Mikdash, okay. So the derabbanan maybe can rely on Rabbi Akiva. So we passed in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to do that. We passed him you're really supposed to eat the kezayis before chatzos, according to all opinions. According to the Rashbam and Tosfos, for sure you're supposed to. According to the Rosh, you're also supposed to, because either it's al tachilus ma'aser or it's al zeichel mikdash. But the ma'aser is supposed to be done properly, so really one should try as best as they can to ensure that they do finish the kezayis, the last kezayis, the kezayis lefi komen, before chatzos, no matter how you slice it. But there will still perhaps be enough kamino adina between the Rashbam and Tosfos on the one end and the Rosh as to how serious we take the afikoman. According to the Rashbam and Tosfos, we treat it with all the chumras of deraisa, according to the Rosh, so we don't treat it with the chumras of deraisa. It's only a zeichel mikdash, it's only a derabbanan. So my nafkamina was deraisa, derabbanan, you have to eat it anyway. So maybe there should be a nafkamina in terms of the shear of matzah. So we know that there are some acharanim who had this idea that the shearim are a little bit different this man hazeh, that the famous Nei of Yehuda, who made his, according to his calculations, came out and that Miskatnu HaBeitzim, that the eggs, this man hazeh, are smaller than the eggs they were in the old days, and therefore all the shearim are off. And basically, everything has to be doubled. This is a big machlokes to Gedolim in Europe. About how do we paskin? Do we paskin like this Nei Yehuda? Do we not follow this Nei Yehuda? There's some Acharonim who went along with the Nei Yehuda. There are other Acharonim who are vehemently opposed to the Nei Yehuda. It says the whole thing of Lahoyot Vermeyelam, the Shiurim, the same basis is the same as it was from the Station of Abrashis, from the Olives of the same, everything is the same as it was, and the Shiurim are the way they've always been. So this was a big Machlekes HaPoskim. So the Mishnah Berurah suggests that one should have the following split Psach. Mishnah Berurah says, when it comes to Mitzvah Achilu Deraisa, so he thinks he should be Chayshish for the Nei Yehuda. So when it comes to Dinam Derabana, yeah, Mechuyif to follow the Nei Yehuda. So what does that mean practically for us? It basically means we don't accept the Nei Yehuda. Because how many Achilus Deraisa do we have? The whole year, how come we could call the whole year, how many Achilus Deraisa do we have? Achilus Matzos, that's about it. Brochas, everything's always been Derabanan. So the Shabbos, everything's Derabanan probably. So one could rely on those who disagreed with the Nei Yehuda. But for the Kazayis of Matzah, one should try to take the biggest year. This is the Hachra of at least the Mishnah Berurah. So now the question is, so what does that mean practically? So at which point did the Seder you have to take the biggest year? So let's say the Kazayis of Maror, you don't have to take the biggest year because that's only the Rabbanim. Two Kazayis of Kerech, the Kazayis of Maror, the Kazayis of Kerech, that's also only the Rabbanim, Zechel Mikdash. So what deraisa are you left with? Are you left with Be'erf Techel Matzah? So which deraisa, which is really deraisa? So according to the Rosh, the first Kazayis, actually you should take the big Shia for. According to the Rosh Bam and Tosfos, you should take the big Shia for the last Kazayis, for the Afikoman. So because we're not sure how to be Machariya Dishayla, that's why most of the kids in books in the Chosei says, they'll tell you the following Pshara. That for the first Kazayis and for the last Kazayis, those who are physically able to, you should try to take a larger piece of Matzah. And for the Kerech, so you can take a smaller. So you'll see in a lot of these books, these numbers thrown around. Yeah, I'm not...
advocating whether the numbers are right or wrong, I'm saying what it says in the book. So let's say, for argument's sake, they'll say, for the first kazayas, you have to have a half of a matzah. And for the last kazayas, another half of a matzah. And for karech, a quarter of a matzah. Where does that come from? So that split comes from this tzak of the Mishnah Berurah. That for deraisas, you should be machmir, for derabbanan, you could be mekil. But we're not sure which is the deraisas, the first or the last of the deraisas, so we try to be machmir, but both of them have a chashash of a potential of the erf of a matzah. So, chopadim, we have a few things that occur during the Seder, some of them more obvious than others, which try to get us into the mindset of Zeichel and Mikdash. Hopefully we should be Zeichel that the Nechel Shamina Zvachim and Avsochim, that all of this should become the Zeichel and Mikdash, should no longer be relevant, should become the Beit HaMikdash, the Bnei HaMikdash.